Towards the end of the 1980s, a good friend of mine, Jonathan, became unexpectedly wealthy. Therein lies another story. But he decided he was going to buy himself a 60-foot yacht. And he presumably did all his market research and came up with one by an American designer called Steve Dashew, a range of boats called the Deerfoot. And he was very, very enthusiastic about this. In fact, he sold it to me, hook, line, and sinker. He brought the videos round, he brought the advertising literature, he brought all the blurb, and pored over the whole thing. And I was very disappointed when in early 1989, Jonathan said that he was no longer going to buy one of these yachts, he was going to do something else with his money. So he left all the paperwork with me and the videos and everything, and I was very, very disappointed because I'd become totally infatuated by the concept of Steve Dashew's designs. They were very long waterline, shallow draft, so they could go into coral areas and shallow places, modest rigs so they could be sailed by relative amateurs with some safety. Just a brilliant design. And I was very, very sorry that Jonathan wasn't going to buy one of these because I'd really looked forward to sailing on one. But that was not to be. However, he did leave all of the information with me, and Dashew was definitely a light in the darkness in those days, and was proselytizing strongly for people to go for this long, thin, shallow draft boat. And so I thought, well, if I can't buy a Deerfoot because they cost $1 million, I could probably build something like one. And so over the next months I pored over all of his literature and adopted as much of his philosophy as I could and built myself a 7-foot scale model of my potential 56-foot long boat. Originally it was going to be more than 60-foot, but as a 63-foot boat would have been slightly wider than the road outside my house, I thought I'd better scale it down a bit. So I built this scale model and I tank tested it. That is, I put a piece of string on it and walked down the side of a lake pulling it behind me, and I was delighted to see that it both floated and went pointed in first, which was not very surprising since the string was attached to the front of the boat. And encouraged by the results of my design, I took them to a friend of mine, Dave, who built 45-foot Robertses for a living down in Bedfordshire. Now Dave and I had been old school friends for years, and he'd built the original Roberts from which he built the hulls and decks that he was doing for a living, using a strange technique of a sacrificial mould. And when I went down and talked to him, he explained to me that all you do is you throw up a frame in the garden, you strip plank it, you put a lid on it with some kind of canvas tarpaulin, you got to plaster it in to plaster the inside, and hey presto. So armed with his information, I took my scale model back to Shropshire and bought some old demolition timbers, and my neighbours were astonished to find frames being put up in the back garden of the barn that we just renovated. So the back ones were quite semicircular in shape, and the front ones were quite V-shaped, and the ones in between somewhere in between the two. And I levelled them all up, made little concrete pads, stood them on them, got the whole thing lined up, put some strip planking on it, sort of all the way through. So at the end, it looked very much like a Viking longboat ready to be set fire to, which I suspect some of the neighbours would have cheerfully done. Put a roof on it out of roof trusses and polythene sheeting, and asked Ross, who was a friend of mine who'd plastered some very nice work in the barn we'd converted, to come and plaster it. So Ross spent 3 or 4 days clambering around on planking and frames inside this mould, plastering it from front to back. And when he stepped out the back, there it was finished. It was a shining mould made out of what they call thistle, which is like pink plaster finish, and we were all ready for fiberglassing, I thought. As it happened, it took several more months of me fairing it in with talcum powder mixed with different coloured paints, the different coloured paints being so you could tell where you'd filed stuff away and where it needed filling more. And in the summer of 1990, we decided it was ready to build a boat. Now, we'd never done any fiberglassing before, so I went back to Dave, who advised me about the sort of mat to use, and the cloth, and the chop mat, and the resin, and the ratios, and things like that. And then I went out and ordered 8 tons of fiberglass to be delivered to my garage. In fact, at one stage, the entire boat effectively sat in my garage, and drums and tubs and boxes of fiberglass mat, and we were ready to proceed.